Hey everybody, thanks for joining us on Code Chat today. My name is Jeremy Foster, and you can find me, as always, online at codefoster.com or on Twitter at codefoster. I am here today with Ryan J. Salva. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, buddy?
Good. Are you enjoying sunny Seattle?
Dude, best summer we've had in a long time.
It's like 80 degrees every day. I love it.
Just rain and sunshine all the time.
Yeah, I had to actually hook up an air conditioner in my house.
You have those?
Because it's so nice. It's just a little portable one.
Yeah, we opened the window, but I've got two chihuahuas, right? And they just opened up a new doggy play thing behind our building. And so all of the dogs are yapping outside. My chihuahuas are just like at the open door yapping at them all day.
So do the chihuahuas actually help you keep your house cool?
Yeah, they're actually kind of like little sweepers that just kind of drag around the ground. They're
excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent. Well, I don't think we planned on talking about chihuahuas today. I think we planned on talking about Cordova.
We did. Indeed. Yeah. Tools for Apache Cordova. We just actually got them into RC about a month ago with the build conference. So,
okay.
Like, super excited. This is V1 for us.
Oh, wow.
We've had a year leading up to this of, I think we've had like 6 or 7 different CTPs since TechEd in, was it Houston, I think, last year?
Mm-hmm.
And so, finally, we're in box. Our V1, we feel like the quality's there. We feel like we've got a lot of great customers that are actually out there using it. We've had a terrific insiders program, a lot of folks who've been giving us good feedback from HP and Fidelity and Accenture, all these guys who have been out there using the product while it was in CTP, helping us getting it kind of all of our T's crossed and I's dotted and getting the quality up there. And now we are just seeing a lot of growth in these, 3 weeks since we've had build. It's been great.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so a CTP is a technology preview, and basically what this meant
for
us
beta.
Is, yeah, right. So we had to install it into Visual Studio as an add-on, right?
Yeah, in fact, so it's been an extension to Visual Studio 2013 for the last year. And in fact, we still have it as an extension to Visual Studio 2013. Mm-hmm. But beginning with Visual Studio 2015, it's included in the box.
Okay.
You know, you get set up there and they've got all the little check marks for the optional components that you want. Mm-hmm. You just need to check tools for Apache Cordova. And when you do that, it automatically brings in all of the Visual Studio tools. But actually, one of the great things here as well is that it not only brings in the Visual Studio tools, but building for cross-platform development. We all know that Cordova is for cross-platform development, right? It's for building for Windows. Yeah, awesome. But a lot of people are building for Cordova, or using Cordova, primarily because they also want to be able to get to iOS and Android. Maybe they even want to get to BlackBerry or one of the other platforms that's out there, right? And so building for all of those different platforms, it actually requires the build systems for each one of those target platforms. So for Android, you need the Android SDK. And underneath that, you also need Node, you need Git. And there's probably about a dozen or so different tool chain dependencies that you need to kind of get installed and configured on your machine. And so Visual Studio set up as part of Visual Studio 2015, and even with that extension for 2013, we go out and we get them for you. We'll go and we'll install Node for you.
Is it a hard thing otherwise if Visual Studio doesn't help me?
I mean, if Visual Studio doesn't do it for you, like, you can always do it yourself if you want to. Mm-hmm. Most of the developers that I've personally talked to, when they go out and they do it themselves, it's like a day or two of work, actually, just because there's a lot of different dependencies. Each one of those dependencies is releasing on its own cycle. Like, believe it or not, Google doesn't consult Microsoft when they decide to release a new SDK. Same thing with Node, same thing with Git.
So it's not just an install of Cordova, but if I want to support Android, then I've got to go install the SDK and the JDK, and the versions have to match. And
I need the emulator
and whatnot, right?
Yeah. And so if you're going to do that yourself, if you want to invest 1 to 2 days to kind of get all that locked and loaded and configured, awesome, do it. Like, we want to enable you to take complete control over your machine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not so into that, you just want to get going quickly and get up and running, Visual Studio will go out, it'll suck it all down, it'll install and configure it for you. I mean, it's a lot of bits and bytes, so go grab a sandwich, but you know, it'll get in there for you.
So Visual Studio is not creating a closed system like a black box for me, it's just doing what I would otherwise do, download and install those.
Yeah, SDKs. You got it exactly. Like, we're actually, like, Since I've been using the Android SDK, I'll continue using it as my example. We're not actually hosting the Android SDK on Microsoft servers. We don't have some kind of fork of it. Mm-hmm. We're really just doing exactly what you would do if you went out to the Google site and hit download.
Yeah.
We're going out to Google servers, we're grabbing it, we're downloading it, but then we've got some special install scripts that both help detect if you already have the SDK installed, mm-hmm. and so we don't want to stomp on it if you've already got your machine set up the way you want it.
Yeah.
So we've got some scripts that'll detect if it's already installed. If it is, we'll back off.
Okay.
If it's not, we'll get it for you, we'll install it, we'll configure it, we'll make sure that everything is set up appropriately so that when you hit F5, after hitting, you know, file new project, mm-hmm. bada bing, bada boom, everything works exactly how you expected.
Well, then what if these dependencies iterate and they upgrade the SDK, they upgrade the, you know, whatever these dependencies are, am I stuck with the old one?
No, and that's, you know, that's kind of the thing about working with an open source project like Cordova and an open source project that depends upon so many different cross-platform mm-hmm. dependencies. They're all kind of iterating at their own pace, moving along, and so we don't want you to be stuck on whatever you had when you first set up your dev environment. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that you're getting all the security updates, all of the bug fixes, everything, all the new features that come with new versions of each of the dependencies. And so our product team is actually busy monitoring all of those different dependencies on a daily basis. We've got automated tests that run and validate against it. And so when we find that there is a new version of a dependency that's out there, we actually have a feed that Visual Studio checks each time it starts up, or in this case, each time you open up a Cordova project.
Okay.
Says, hey, is there a new version of Node out there for me to get? Yeah, there is, and it's got an important security update. Hmm. Would you like to install that latest version? We know that it's compatible with this version of Visual Studio. You say yes, you know, take 5 minutes, update one of those dependencies, and then you're kind of on your way. Then you've got the latest and greatest.
So once again, something I could do myself, but not only would I have to go through the effort, but in this case, I would have to realize that there's an update. I have to know it, yeah.
Exactly, And like, don't get me wrong, I love browsing the blogs and seeing what's out there every day, but it's not always the first thing that I'm concentrating on in the morning.
Yeah.
And it definitely happens that there are important bug fixes that come out on a practically weekly basis. Security flaws, like, they're out there. This mm-hmm. is software, they're security bugs. And so as soon as those security bugs are acknowledged and found and a patch is out there for them, we're out there busy making sure that you get them as quickly as possible.
It really seems to me that lately Visual Studio and our new Visual Studio Code, all these efforts they seem like Microsoft trying to write tooling that helps developers develop things the way they otherwise would. In other words, help them write code the way that they're writing code, but just empower it, you know, add some features to it and not really get in the way.
I gotta tell you, like, the vast majority of my job is going out and talking to developers and just really trying to understand how they are doing things today, like where they've got some kind of little pain mm-hmm. in their tool chain and their developer workflow. And if I can help those developers cut out an extra step, save a couple of hours of their day, hell, sometimes it's not even about saving time, it's just about saving headache.
Yeah, right. Like,
that's really what it's about. And so if I can automate stuff, if I can use software to do what software is good at, like performing automated rote tasks that don't require a developer's talent, but just require their time, and I can take some of that pain out of it, all the better. And that's really a lot of what the tools for Apache Cordova are about.
So we're not in an ivory tower developing things we think are cool and then throwing it out and saying, we hope you like it, but this is actually based on feedback.
It's an ivory bungalow. Yeah, a little bit lower to the ground, a little bit closer to the people.
In the village.
That's right. Yeah.
Good. Okay, so what other things does the tooling give me that would maybe convince me as a developer to install Visual Studio and use this as my way for creating a Cordova app, as opposed to just going out and installing the Cordova tooling and all of the, or rather Cordova itself and all of the dependencies and doing it that way.
So, we just lost a thing. Oh, hey, there's my chihuahua. We were talking about my chihuahua earlier. There's my chihuahua right there. We'll keep
them.
This is Cortez, everyone. Say hello to Cortez. So let's first start by just talking about why you would even use the Cordova tools, right?
Mm-hmm.
So really, if you are coming to the game with web development skills, that's kind of, you are most comfortable with JavaScript. Mm-hmm. And you've got an application that you know needs offline support. That's a big one, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to just build a web application because that requires an internet connection all the time. Mm-hmm. Or you've got a need to access some kind of device capabilities. For example, you need to access the camera because you want to have like a barcode scanner on your device. Or you want to be able to access the accelerometer, something like that. Right? Mm-hmm. That's when you're going to use Cordova. If you are coming to Cordova just as kind of outside of the Visual Studio ecosystem and you are a web developer who's accustomed to using Ruby or Python or PHP or whatever it is you're going to use.
Right? Yeah, right.
It is an open source project, and it's an open source project that Microsoft contributes heavily to. We are by far and away not the only contributor out there.
Yeah.
Google's making contributions, Adobe, Intel, IBM. There's a lot of players invested in making sure that Cordova is not just allows you to deploy to all of these platforms, but allows you to do so safely and reliably from frankly, for a lot of enterprise applications. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of our customers are businesses that are serving basically a bring your own device kind of ecosystem, where they've got vendors, they've got contractors, whatever, where they actually need to deliver an application. But because they're coming at it with a web technology background and they want to get to market quickly, they're using Cordova as their way of really launching those applications.
And so, the thing, let me interject real quick. The thing that I found interesting is that, you know, we all want and need to be on all the major platforms, right? We don't just want to make apps that work in a silo. We want it to work on the device that are in people's pockets.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because if you go to one vendor, they'll say, make things this way, you know, so that it works on our platform. We've got a big platform. If you go to another vendor, they say, well, make it this way.
Yeah.
We want it to work on our platform. I think that we as developers need to be thinking about how can I make it so that I'm pretty much vendor agnostic. I'm going to be on the devices that are in people's pockets.
You're preaching to the choir. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It is one of the things that personally resonates with me about Cordova is that we've gotten ourselves as an industry into a place where we've got these silos of technology. Mm-hmm. We've got these silos and kind of the Apple Store and the Google Play Store and even the Windows Store, mm-hmm. right? Where we have locked developers into a single distribution channel. Mm-hmm. And if those developers want to take their applications and get it out to another distribution channel, mm-hmm. all too often, they've got to redevelop it. Mm-hmm. They got to build it again. Mm-hmm. And not only do they need to build it again, like, okay, sure, maybe do it the first time, but we all forget about what it takes to actually maintain that application over mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. And that cost, like, it's astronomical if you are even a large organization who's got lots of resources to dedicate an entire development team mm-hmm. to keep maintaining that application for each of the ecosystems mm-hmm. is painful. And one of the truly wonderful things that the web brought us and that kind of sparked this whole information revolution kind of in the last 30 or so years has been the freedom that the web provides,
right.
The freedom
the
web technologies, the
democracy
of it, right?
Yeah.
And so you're able to take this application and get it to everyone. Mm-hmm. And so Cordova is really a way for developers to democratize those mobile applications mm-hmm. in the same way that the web did for us 25, 30 years ago, mm-hmm. right? And so with Cordova, I think that it enables all of us to be able to carry our message, to carry our product, to carry our services to a wider range of people mm-hmm. without kind of being locked into each of those silos, right? We're not really...
Committing to a skill set.
Yeah, yeah. Or you can actually still commit to the JavaScript still skill set, but you're not committed to a distribution channel. I think that's the important point that I want to make there. So I feel like we got on a little bit tangent there, but it was a good one. So you had asked earlier, like, why would I use Visual Studio instead of just installing Cordova, kind of, and using Sublime with it, right? And like, there's a lot of stuff. We already talked about the acquisition piece, and that's kind of nice. It sets up your machine for you. All right, that's cool. That helps you early on.
Don't mind saving a day or two.
Yeah, totally. But that's not where you're going to spend most of your time, right? After that, you got to do the hard work of developing your app. And so that's where I think that Visual Studio can really help developers, particularly with that inner development loop of kind of edit, debug, preview. And Visual Studio's got some unique features here that aren't really available outside of an IDE. Really what I'm thinking of here is, like, we all know Visual Studio's got some of the best debug features, like, in the industry for any kind of development tool, right? And so we took a lot of the, all of those same kind of debug features and those strengths and applied them to not just kind of debugging your application for Windows, but also debugging it for Android and for iOS. So I can use my JavaScript debugger and set breakpoints and get awesome IntelliSense and kind of inspect variables and inspect the runtime and even modify my styles and my HTML and my JavaScript at runtime, all from within Visual Studio, while still launching my application and running my application, inspecting that application on all of the target devices. So let me kind of give you a quick rundown of some of the possibilities here, right? So let's say that I'm most comfortable working in the browser. Heck, we're coming at it from a web development background. The browser's where we spend a lot of our time.
Yeah, we might start there and
And like, browsers are fast. Like desktop browsers, we've spent a lot of time investing in little perf improvements and optimizing workflows to make browser development quick and easy. And so for that, we've got Ripple. And Ripple's essentially an emulator that runs inside of the Chrome browser. And what it does is it allows you to preview your app inside of a browser and still simulate some of those device capabilities like the camera or the accelerometer inside of the browser. One of the really cool things, and I'm gonna like, give you guys a little bit of a peek into the future. There's a version of Ripple that's out there today, and that's been out there for about call it about 3 or 4 years, I think. And but frankly, like, it's time for V2. It's time for us to kind of expand upon that and make it better. And so one of the things that the product team is working on now, while Ripple is available to developers today, we've got Ripple V2 that we're working on now. And it's actually going to be available. We just put it up for a vote in the Apache Cordova community yesterday. And so Ripple V2 should be out there within the calendar year. And folks should be able to actually play around with some of the early prototype bits within the week. So that's pretty exciting. And I can give you guys a link to it.
You heard it here, folks.
Heard it here first, that's right. But okay, so you get your browser. That's one deploy target. Next deploy target, emulators, right? And emulators, your emulators, we've all probably, or many of us have probably used the Android emulator before, or even one of the Windows emulators, right? And so from within Visual Studio, you can deploy to your Windows emulator, your Android emulator, or even your iOS simulator, and still debug from within Visual Studio. Not only that, but because we've got the Visual Studio Android emulator that's kind of baked into Visual Studio as well, you don't have to go through the 10 minutes of start time, you know, that's required with a normal kind of out of the box.
I noticed that. I thought it was just me. I thought I did something wrong.
It's insane. It's insane. Like, you know, well-known, just terrible performance. And with the out-of-the-box stock Google emulator, you can limp along. With the stock Visual Studio emulator, I've actually, I have a pretty reasonable development experience in terms of iterating quickly, being able to launch quickly. I've been super, super impressed with this stuff coming out of Visual Studio Android emulator team. Okay, but you've got emulators, but then you want to sort of debug on devices. We got that too, right? So if you want to tether a Nexus 7 or a Nokia or even an iOS device, iOS 6 or 5 device, hook it into your computer via USB, deploy to that, and you can debug from there too. So you can get the everything from what I'll call the lowest fidelity at the browser stage, because the browser is always going to be an approximation of what you actually get on a device,
right?
going up the chain into higher and higher fidelity emulator tethered device for all of the different platforms. And Visual Studio Debug works across all of them. So you've got like full kind of capabilities across the
board. On one machine. That's really an interesting point, because you know you're not only taking advantage of one skill set, you've theoretically got this one developer with this one skill set that's working on my one app.
Yeah.
But he's also working on one machine and just deploying to all these targets you're mentioning.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, a few years
ago. That saves a lot of time too, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Now, a few years ago, and I bring this up, I know it's old news, but I still hear people bring this up.
Okay.
Zuckerberg famously said that HTML5 was a big mistake. And so if this is our strategy, obviously it's a good thing to get on these multiple platforms, but if HTML is our strategy, if JavaScript is our strategy for getting on these different machines, is there some sort of a compromise that we have to make?
Sure. So, all right. So let's play the Wayback Machine here, right? We're going to rewind. If I remember correctly, that quote was like 2011 or 2012.
Which is an eternity.
An eternity in web time. But, okay. First and foremost, there's some validity to that, right? Mm-hmm. An HTML application is never going to be the exact same as a native application. There is kind of a level of control that you have in a native application that you just don't have in an HTML application. It's a single-threaded application in JavaScript and in native code. You've got the ability to control your threading and all that good kind of stuff. So I want to acknowledge some degree of validity to mm-hmm. that. And to that end, if I were trying to build a top 10 application, right, something that's going to be a consumer-facing app that is going to get millions and millions and millions of downloads, and I've got the resources to develop that kind of an app, mm-hmm. I'm probably going to build a native application first.
Hire 3 or 4 teams and make it happen.
Exactly, mm-hmm. right? On the other hand, from a performance perspective, and I actually encourage folks, Google my name and performance, and you'll find a couple of videos on the web of me kind of talking a little bit about performance and mm-hmm. Cordova applications. This kind of misconception, or this common perception that HTML is somehow fatally crippled, what we've really done is we've found that a lot of this is based upon perceptions from a time around that Zuckerberg time mm-hmm. where Facebook, frankly, did kind of maybe an okay-ish job implementing their HTML version. Mm-hmm. But if you'll remember correctly, about 6 months later, the good folks over at Sentia actually developed a proof of concept. I believe they called it Fastbook, if I'm not mistaken, that showed that all of the performance goals that Facebook was trying to meet with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript were absolutely possible with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. They could still get 60 frames per second. They could still get that nice infinite scroll kind mm-hmm. of thing, mm-hmm. you know, where you slide it and it just kind of
feels like butter.
Right? Yeah, totally. Right. And so that was 3-4 years ago now. Since then, we've had a lot of great innovations in terms of hardware and memory and even software based acceleration. Mm-hmm. And we've also, frankly, we've gotten better as developers. You've got technologies like React, right? And even Angular 2.0, which happens to be built on TypeScript. A little shout out to our TypeScript team there. A lot of these kind of performance innovations have made it so that HTML, CSS, and JavaScript web technologies are able to deliver experiences which are surprisingly native-like. Mm-hmm. And even when there is some kind of compromise that's made, mm-hmm. right, between like, okay, maybe not a top 3% application where you're wanting to deliver an ultra-premium experience, mm-hmm. but in terms of speed to market and in terms of efficiency and return on investment for the amount of effort invested, mm-hmm. like there's really no comparison in what you get with the tools for Apache Cordova and hybrid applications in general.
Yeah, right? I always think about it in terms of what I call the threshold of perception, which is in my definition is that if it's good enough and if it surpasses a human's ability to differentiate, then forget it and don't put any more dollars into it. In other words, if I've got so many pixels on my screen that I can't tell the difference between one level and the next, it's good enough. My eye thinks that that's a real photograph. My eye thinks that that's a real picture. And so go ahead and stop right there.
Yeah.
You've sufficed in tricking the human sensory system into thinking that this is reality and so stop.
Yeah, no, I would actually, we probably don't have enough time today, but I would love to come back and talk about perf like just exclusively one time.
Yeah.
I like perf, I can geek out on for hours and hours and hours. We we did a series of science experiments over the course of the last 6 months to understand the performance characteristics of Cordova. And a lot of it was kind of getting back to your point there about perception. Like, what does it actually mean to shave 2 milliseconds off, 4 milliseconds off? And like, how do we establish these interaction classes where performance becomes imperceptibly different? And where does HTML kind of fall off compared to native? And a lot of the kind of interesting findings that we kind of took out of that was that for the vast majority of interactions, those interactions that are sub 100 milliseconds, so you've got at 60 frames per second, I think it calculates out to 16 milliseconds per frame, and then you've got at a 50 millisecond threshold, which would be like when you're clicking something and it stays with your finger or it immediately reacts, or even up to 100 milliseconds, which would be for something like a macro level a macro level click, like you click something and the page changes, right? That HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, again, web technologies, were absolutely 100% able to keep up with native performance. You just need to follow some basic coding conventions that, like, maybe here's a way of summing it up. In a native application, it's a lot it's just as easy to create a native application with terrible performance as it is to create a terrible application with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript.
Yeah.
You just need to approach it going into it thinking, all right, I'm building a mobile application, therefore performance is important, and therefore I need to not just layer on jQuery plus Angular plus JavaScript vanilla flavor of the day, I don't know, whatever it's going to be, all too often we just kind of end up layering on all these different frameworks, and that will ultimately erode our performance.
I suggest you make a tutorial and put it online for how to make an app with terrible
performance. Such a thing exists, my friend.
It does.
Such a thing
exists.
Huh? Yeah, I'll send you a link.
Okay,
you a link.
There you go.
All right.
Okay, well, you know what? This has been great. There's a lot of information around the area of Cordoving. I happen to be really passionate about it because I like writing JavaScript everywhere.
Yep.
I'm playing a lot with Node.js on devices. You can find what I'm doing on codefoster.com if you're interested. And so I love the idea that I've got this skill set in this modern, fun, ever-changing, like you mentioned, the frameworks are coming out every day. I have to watch 5 minutes of JavaScript every week so I can keep up on the latest things that are coming out. And I take that skill set and I get to go make an app in Cordova, and it feels like just a little bonus that when I make that app in Cordova, it's landing on all the platforms. And these days we always want a web presence as well, and hey, guess what? Same language.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a super smooth transition. If you've got experience as a JavaScript developer, like honestly, you can build a mobile application in your first hour.
Yeah.
It's duper easy. Yeah.
Ryan, is there anything you can tell us about the future? What's coming? What are we looking at?
Yeah. I mean, God, there's so much to talk about in the future. So, number one, RTM, going to be out here this summer. Look for it inside of Visual Studio 2015. Beyond that, we've got a lot of great investments that we're making in the platform itself. We talked about Ripple earlier. We've also got our eye towards other technologies that are still JavaScript related, but maybe not necessarily specifically within Cordova. So we're taking a really close look right now at React Native and NativeScript.
Oh, cool.
Looking at ways that we can make it easier for JavaScript developers to be productive building mobile applications using a wide range of technologies. And for those of maybe those folks who have not heard about React Native yet, it's a technology that was really innovated and produced by Facebook, released 6 months ago. It wasn't even that long ago.
It's
not that long ago. Right now it's only available for iOS, but they've pretty publicly declared that they've got a prototype, a beta for Android that should be out pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at ways that we can apply some of the same kind of strengths of Visual Studio and Visual Studio code for that matter, mm-hmm. To React Native and maybe even Native Script.
So that's wow. So once again, just kind of writing the tooling for supporting the way that developers are writing their code today.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I mean, this one's definitely riding the crest of that wave.
Yeah.
I think if you look at adoption numbers today, clearly because Cordova is a relatively mature technology, it's been out for about 5 years now, much larger developer base, but we're always looking for ways to be kind of better developers and do kind of the next cool thing.
Yeah.
Not just the next cool thing, but the next better thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Ryan, can I assume that developers are welcome to engage with you on Twitter?
I am on the Twitters.
Awesome.
I'm at Ryan J. Salva.
Okay.
Not very creative, apparently. So, easy to find.
You have a good name, so that works. Well, hey, thanks a lot for joining us this week on Code Chat. Look forward to seeing you next time. We've had fun chatting, and I'm sure we will again.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. Thanks, guys. Happy coding.